So imagine you're waking up on a Tuesday.
Right.
It's mid-July. You're pouring your coffee, you know, checking your local market data.
As one does.
Right, as you do.
Yeah.
And you realize the average home price in your county just dropped by 50%.
Oh, no.
In a single month. Just
down.
Gone in the Texas heat. Half your equity just vaporized.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that is exactly the kind of headline that triggers instant panic.
Holy.
You see a massive percentage drop like that, and your immediate assumption is just catastrophic local economic failure.
Right, like the bottom just completely fell out of the market overnight.
Exactly.
Well, welcome to this deep dive into the source material. It is late July 2026.
And it is hot.
It is so hot. We are officially past the fireworks of the July 4th holiday. And we are absolutely baking in the deep Texas heat right now.
Baking is the right word.
Yeah. And we are looking today at how the real estate market is faring at the absolute height of this summer season. But, you know, we aren't looking at the massive concrete sprawl of Dallas or Fort Worth today.
No, we're going a bit further out.
Yeah. We are heading out past the western edge of the Metroplex.
Uh-huh.
We're focusing entirely on Jack County today.
Which is a really fascinating area to look at.
It really is. For those unfamiliar, this is wide open spaces.
Right.
This is ranch country. And it's anchored by the population center of Jacksboro.
Yeah, it's a very different vibe from the city.
Very different. And our mission today is to act as a translator for you, the listener.
Because there is a lot of noise out there right now.
So much statistical noise. We are going to cut through all of it to uncover the true market reality in what is notoriously a very small and very volatile housing market.
Extremely volatile.
Right.
Right.
And we're going to start with that terrifying 50% drop we just mentioned.
Well, we have to, because that headline is just a masterclass in why raw data without context is incredibly dangerous.
It really is.
I mean, we have a stack of reports here, right?
Yeah, a huge stack.
And to understand what is actually happening on the ground in Jack County for you, we have to look past those top line numbers.
We have to tear into the underlying mechanics.
Exactly. How this data is gathered, how it's filtered, and honestly, what it leaves out entirely.
Which brings us to, I think, the most glaring issue we found in the current reporting cycle.
Oh, yeah. This was wild.
Right. Before we even touch the numbers we actually have, we have to talk about what is conspicuously missing from the midsummer data stack.
It's a huge blind spot.
It is. Because I was reviewing the NTRIZE MLS summary report.
And just to clarify for everyone listening, NTRIZE is the North Texas Real Estate Information Systems.
Right. It's the massive database that acts as the central nervous system for real estate listings across the whole region.
Right. The big one.
Yeah, the big one. So I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
And I notice this massive hole.
Just a complete gap.
Yeah. The report goes down the alphabetical list of Texas counties, right?
Uh-huh.
It hits Hunt County, and then it just skips completely over Jack County.
Just completely bypasses it.
Yeah. It lands straight on Johnson County.
It's a total blackout for Jack County in that specific aggregated report.
Which is so frustrating.
It is. And it's critical to understand how these reports are generated to know why that matters, you know?
Right. They aren't like hand-compiled by someone in an office.
No, not at all. These are algorithmic pulls.
Right.
A system is just instructed to query the database for specific geographic codes, categorize the property types, and spit out the aggregates.
Just raw output.
Exactly. So when a county drops off entirely like that, it usually points to like a back-end coding error.
Or maybe a missed reporting deadline by a local board.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Or even just an algorithmic filter that miscategorized the regional data.
Wow. And the collateral damage of that glitch, whatever caused it, is massive.
It really is.
Because Jack County is ranch country.
Exactly.
We rely on that specific NTRIZE report to give us the segmented breakdown of farm, ranch, and land data.
Which is the lifeblood of that specific area.
Right. And the other major source we use, the MarketWatch quarterly report, well, it only tracks general residential metrics.
It doesn't touch the land data at all.
Not even a little bit. So for the month of June 2026, we have absolutely zero visibility into the farm, ranch, and land transactions.
Zero.
For a county literally defined by its wide open spaces.
It's wild. You are basically trying to analyze a rural economy without looking at the land it sits on.
Yeah, it's absurd.
It is an incredibly frustrating blind spot for anyone trying to gauge the true economic velocity of the region right now.
Yeah, it's like trying to review a massive summer blockbuster movie, But the theater's projector broke right before the climax.
That is a great analogy.
You know, the most important part of the story is happening right in front of you, but you just have to sit there in the dark.
Just staring at a blank screen.
Exactly. So how can we possibly evaluate the health of a ranching community without the land data?
Well, we evaluate it by shifting our reliance to the data we do have.
Yeah.
But while maintaining, like, hyper-awareness of its limitations...
We have to know what we're missing.
Right. The absence of the enterized land data is a reporting gap. It's not a market freeze.
The tractors didn't stop running.
Exactly. The acreage didn't stop changing hands just because a server in Dallas dropped a geographic code.
Right.
But this blackout forces us to rely entirely on the general residential data.
Which is tricky.
Very. It introduces a whole new set of hazards when you are dealing with a small market.
Which brings up the law of small numbers.
Yes. This is so...
Where the statistics get incredibly distorted.
They're massively distorted.
Because Jack County isn't seeing hundreds of residential closings a month, like, say, a Dallas suburb.
And not even close.
We are looking at a market that routinely sees only single digits of closed residential sales in any given 30-day window.
And that is the absolute crux of the issue here.
Yeah.
When you are consuming data to stay well-informed, you have to recognize the mathematical peril of a single-digit sample size.
It's so volatile.
It really is. Because if a market only has 5 or 6 sales in a month, the statistical weight of every single transaction is disproportionately massive.
It swings the whole average.
Exactly. If a beautifully renovated, sprawling house happens to close in May, the average price just rockets upward.
Right.
And then if, in June, the only things that close are 2 aging, distressed properties that need total gut renovations,
the month-over-month average just plummets.
It falls off a cliff.
It creates this total illusion of wild volatility.
Yes.
You look at a chart and it looks like a heart monitor during a cardiac event.
That's exactly what it looks like.
When in reality, the fundamental value of the homes sitting on those streets hasn't changed at all.
Not one bit.
It's just a quirk of which specific properties happen across the finish line in a completely arbitrary 30-day window.
Which is exactly why relying on a single month snapshot in a county with this low of a transaction volume is, well, it's essentially statistical malpractice.
You just can't do it.
No. You have to step back. You have to look at the quarterly roll-ups and the year-to-date trends to find any sort of reliable baseline.
Which we will definitely do.
Right. But even when we do step back, the residential data we have for June 2026 presents a massive, fascinating contradiction in the fundamental mechanics of supply and demand.
Okay, yes. Let's get into this because this is the supply paradox.
It really is a paradox.
It completely breaks the standard rules of real estate economics, at least as I understand
it. Let's lay it out.
All right, let me give you the raw residential numbers from the June 2026 source material.
Okay.
There were 61 homes sitting actively on the market in Jack County.
61.
61. Now, if we look back to a year earlier, June 2025, there are 66 homes available.
Okay, so a drop.
Yeah. So we have a 7.6% decrease in raw inventory. Fewer homes are for sale this summer.
A shrinking pool of available options.
Exactly. But here is where the math doesn't make sense to me. We have fewer homes on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, a shrinking supply should increase scarcity.
Right. In theory, yes.
Which should accelerate the market and give sellers the upper hand.
That is traditional economics.
But the month supply of inventory metric for Jack County is sitting at a staggering 11.4 months.
Yeah, that is a huge number.
It is. That is only a tiny fraction below last year's 11.8 months.
Right.
If we have fewer items on the shelf, why is the market practically frozen? How can supply be down, but the market is still completely clogged?
Because, you know, you are looking at raw volume when you really need to be looking at velocity.
Velocity.
Yeah. The month supply of inventory is not just a headcount of the houses sitting in the county.
Okay.
It is a measurement of absorption.
Absorption rate, right.
Right. It measures the relationship between the number of homes available and the exact speed at which buyers are willing and able to sign contracts to take them off the market.
Okay, so let me make sure I have this. It's not just about how much water is in the bathtub. It's about how fast the drain is pulling it out.
That is the perfect way to visualize it.
Okay.
To establish a baseline for you, a 6-month supply of inventory is universally considered a balanced market.
6 months is the gold standard.
Exactly. At 6 months of velocity, neither the buyer nor the seller has a systemic built-in advantage. It's neutral ground.
Fair for everyone.
Right. But when you push up to 11.4 months of supply, you are deep, deep into buyer's market territory.
Just massively skewed.
Completely. What that 11.4 number actually means is that at the current agonizingly slow pace that buyers are actually closing on homes, it would take nearly a full calendar year to sell the existing 61 homes.
Wow.
And that's assuming not a single new property was listed.
A full year.
Almost a full year, yeah.
So the reason the 7.6% drop in active listings didn't accelerate the market is because buyer demand evaporated even faster than the listings disappeared. The foot traffic completely died.
The demand side of the equation just collapsed.
It's crazy.
And we really need to think about the physical reality of an 11.4-month supply.
Yeah, what does that actually look like?
Right, because this isn't just an abstract economic concept on a spreadsheet.
No.
It dictates the psychology of everyone interacting with the market.
How so?
It means for sale signs planted in front yards are literally getting bleached out by the July Texas sun because they've been sitting there since last winter.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It means a buyer can drive out to Jacksboro on a Saturday, take a tour of a house, decide they aren't sure, go on a 2-week family vacation to the coast,
right,
come back, and know with near absolute certainty that the house is still sitting there waiting for them.
The urgency is just dead.
Completely dead.
The fear of missing out, which drove so much of that market madness a few years ago, is completely gone.
It's non-existent.
There are no bidding wars. There are no artificial deadlines to submit your highest and best offer by Sunday at 5 p.m.
None of that.
But this leads me to a major question about human behavior here.
Okay, shoot.
If I'm a seller and my house has been sitting empty for 6, 8, maybe 10 months, my instinct in a suburban market would be to slash the price to clear the inventory.
Right. Cut the price, get it moved.
Yeah. Why aren't we seeing sellers aggressively chop prices out in Jack County to get out?
That frozen market psychology is exactly what separates a rural market from a dense suburban one.
Okay.
And honestly, it comes down to the carrying costs.
Carrying costs.
Yeah. In a suburban market, a seller might be carrying a massive monthly mortgage, right?
Right.
Maybe they already bought their next house and they are bleeding cash every single month that property sits empty.
They have two mortgages.
Exactly. That financial pressure forces price capitulation.
Yeah, a ticking clock.
They do. But in rural Texas, and certainly in parts of Jack County, the ownership mechanics are often very, very different.
How so?
Well, you have a much higher prevalence of properties that are fully paid off.
Okay, free and clear.
Right. You have generational land. You have folks who aren't under the crushing pressure of an impending adjustable rate mortgage reset, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So if a seller doesn't actually have to sell to survive, they have the luxury of time.
They could just wait it out.
Exactly. They can anchor themselves to the aspirational price they saw their neighbor get back in 2023.
Right, when things were crazy.
And they will simply refuse to budge, even if it means sitting on the market for an entire year.
They just dig their heels in.
Deep.
And that gridlock, that massive chasm between a stubborn seller and a hesitant buyer, I guess that explains exactly why the pricing data looks so utterly deformed this month.
That is exactly the reason.
Which brings us back to the mirage, that terrifying 50% price drop we teased at the very start of the show.
Let's dissect that. Let's look at how a frozen market creates a statistical nightmare.
Okay, so according to the June 2026 data, the single month median sales price in Jack County was $185,000.
Yep.
That is a massive 39.8% drop from the 307,500 median we saw in June of 2025.
Huge drop.
And the average sales price took an even harder hit, plummeting nearly 50%. It went from $375,788 down to $188,143.
Just brutal on paper.
Right. If you just take those numbers at face value, it looks like a total collapse of local equity.
It looks like an economic disaster zone. But the moment you look at the transaction volume, the actual denominator in this mathematical equation, the entire illusion just falls apart.
It does.
Because how many homes actually closed in the month of June to generate that 50% drop?
Seven.
Seven.
Seven single-family homes closed in the entire county for the whole month.
That is the price mirage in its purest form.
It's wild.
When your entire data set consists of seven transactions, the specific characteristics of those seven properties completely dictate the narrative.
Right.
We talked about sellers digging the heels in, right?
Yeah.
Refusing to lower prices on those premium, nice properties.
Yeah.
So what actually sells in a market gridlocked by stubborn sellers and high costs?
The distressed properties.
Exactly.
The fixer-uppers, the properties where the seller did have a ticking clock, maybe a divorce, a relocation, or an estate liquidation, and they just had to dump the house at a massive discount.
Exactly. Because the algorithm pulling this data, it doesn't know the difference between a pristine, move-in-ready ranch house and a dilapidated teardown that requires $100,000 in foundation work.
It just sees a closed transaction and logs the price.
Right. It just sees a data point.
Mm-hmm.
So if, in a pool of only 7 sales, 3 or 4 of them happen to be highly distressed, lower tier properties that were priced to move aggressively.
Which is very likely in this environment.
Extremely likely. Those transactions completely hijack the math.
Wow.
They drag the median and the average straight down into the basement.
So it's not a market crash.
No, it is a reflection of what sold in that specific 30-day window, not a reflection of the underlying value of the overall housing stock in the county.
It's like judging the overall health of a whole city's population by only looking at the people sitting in the emergency room waiting area on a Tuesday night.
That is a perfect way to put it.
It is a wildly skewed sample.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to swing the pendulum too far the other way and tell you, the listener, to just ignore the data completely.
Yeah, you can't do that either.
Because the sky isn't falling, the 50% drop is a mirage, but the market is undeniably softening.
It is.
We just have to look at the year-to-date numbers to find the actual truth.
The year-to-date, or YTD figures, they are the only way to find solid ground here.
Right.
Because by aggregating a full 6 months of data, you dilute the impact of those hyper-isolated single-month anomalies.
You smooth out the curve.
Right. The distressed sales in June get balanced out by the premium sales that happened in March or April.
And the sources give us a very clear picture with those YTD numbers.
They do. Let's hear them.
Okay. Through June of 2026, the year-to-date median sales price in Jack County is sitting at $245,000.
Okay.
Now, compared to a year ago, when it was $300,000, that is an 18.3% decline.
Which is significant.
Very. And the YTD average tells a very similar story, sitting at $286,190, which is down 16.7% from last year.
So that near 20% decline in the aggregated median, that is the reality check every seller in the county needs to internalize.
It's the real number.
It is. It is not a 50% apocalyptic crash, but an 18.3% drop is a very real, very painful correction.
Yeah, that hurts.
It is a definitive step backward in market valuation.
It means the days of throwing a sign in the yard asking for 20% over the last comparable sale and getting 3 cash offers by Monday morning are dead and buried.
They are entirely over. If you are holding property in Jack County this summer and you price your home based on the peak frenzy of 2023, you are volunteering to become one of those bleached out signs sitting in the yard for 11.4 months.
You're just going to sit there.
The broader market has retreated by nearly a fifth of its value. The buyers simply will not validate yesterday's pricing.
They won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But even that 20% correction isn't applied evenly across the board. Which brings up a really fascinating structural oddity in how we map real estate data.
Oh, the zip code data.
Yes, because we've stabilized our understanding of the countywide softening. But the source material forces us to recognize that Jack County is not a single uniform monolith.
Far from it.
Depending on where you draw the invisible boundaries, the economic reality completely fractures into a patchwork of micro-markets.
Right, because real estate is inherently localized. But when you get out into rural regions, it becomes hyper-localized.
Because the variables are so different.
Exactly. The value of a property can swing wildly based on incredibly specific micro-factors. Like, which side of a state highway are you on?
Right.
Do you have reliable utility access, or are you relying on a temperamental well?
Wow. Yeah.
What is the actual quality of the county road leading to your gate?
Is it paved or dirt?
Exactly. These things matter immensely.
And we see this fracture vividly when we zoom in on the MarketWatch quarterly report for the second quarter of 2026.
This is where the numbers get really strange.
They do.
Yeah.
Because this report gives us a slightly different angle than the monthly summaries. It breaks the data down by individual zip codes.
Right.
And the math in this report is so jarring, it actually made me stop and reread the source file multiple times.
I had the same reaction.
Because on its face, it looks like a mathematical impossibility.
The discrepancies in regional reporting can be incredibly confusing if you don't understand the filters being applied behind the scenes.
Okay, let me lay out the numbers for you.
Go for it.
The MarketWatch report states that for Q2 2026, Jack County overall had a median price of $212,500, which is down 30.3% from the previous year. It also reports a total of 16 closed sales for the county in that entire quarter.
Right. 16 sales.
First off, 16 sales in an entire quarter. That's roughly 5 homes a month.
Yeah.
That perfectly confirms our earlier discussion about the microscopically small sample size.
It does. Though, you know, it is worth noting that 16 sales is actually up from the 13 sales we saw in the second quarter of 2024.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That points to historical volatility. The market just dips and surges on very low volume, making trend lines look like jagged mountains rather than smooth curves.
Jagged mountains, I like that. But here is the part that breaks the logic for me.
Okay.
The report says the county overall had 16 closed sales. But in the very same report, when it breaks the data down by zip code, it highlights the Jacksboro core.
Zip code 76426.
Exactly, the main population center of the county. For that specific zip code, the report claims there were 67 closed sales for the quarter.
Yeah.
And the median price actually ticked up by 2.2% to $297,370.
It's wild to look at.
How is this possible? How can a single zip code inside the county report 67 closed sales while the county as a whole is only reporting 16?
The part cannot be 4 times larger than the whole.
Exactly. The math is doing backflips.
It is a brilliant catch, and honestly, it highlights a fundamental flaw in how public-facing real estate data is digested by the average consumer.
Because it just looks wrong.
Right. When you see a massive discrepancy like that, where a zip code wildly outpaces its parent county in transaction volume, you are looking at a collision of different data filters.
Different filters.
Yeah, the systems generating these two numbers are simply not speaking the same language.
Okay, break that down for me, because physically, zip code 76426 is inside Jack County.
Physically, yes, the core of it is.
Right.
But when a reporting entity like MarketWatch runs a query for quote-unquote Jack County, they are almost always applying very strict, rigid filters for pure single-family residential properties.
Okay.
They strip out anything that doesn't fit the classic definition of a standalone house on a standard lot.
So they're filtering heavily.
Very heavily. However, when the system runs a query by zip code, the parameters often widen significantly.
Oh.
Zip code aggregations frequently pull in a much broader spectrum of property classifications that just happen to share that postal routing number.
So the 67 sales in the Jacksboro zip code aren't just single family houses.
Nope.
What else is getting caught in that net?
Well, it is highly probable that the zip code data is sweeping in commercial property sales along the main thoroughfares in town.
Oh, commercial, right.
It could be capturing multifamily units, duplexes, or even specific types of leased agricultural land that carry a commercial designation.
Wow, that would definitely inflate the numbers.
It might even be pulling in mobile homes on unclassified tracts that the strict county-level filter intentionally excludes.
Not to mention, zip codes are just routing tools for the Postal Service.
Exactly.
They don't respect municipal or county boundaries. A rural zip code can easily bleed across a county line, pulling in transactions from a neighboring jurisdiction that would never show up in the pure Jack County data.
Precisely. A zip code is a mail delivery route. It is not a strictly contained economic zone.
That makes so much sense.
This massive numerical discrepancy is a perfect lesson for anyone trying to navigate real estate data. You cannot just take a spreadsheet at face value without understanding the architecture of the query.
You have to know what you're looking at.
Right. But even acknowledging that the zip code data is a wider, messier net, the underlying narrative it reveals about the micro market is still really critical.
Because it shows us that the county is experiencing a total patchwork effect.
Yes, a massive patchwork.
The Jacksboro core, despite all the macroeconomic headwinds, saw its median price increase by 2.2%. The center held its value.
It did.
But when you look at the rural fringes, the reality splinters. The sources show that zip codes like 76230 and 76486 saw significant price declines.
Right.
Meanwhile, isolated zip codes like 76431 and 76487 saw prices jump sharply. Again, probably based on an incredibly tiny number of transactions.
Most likely. The takeaway for a property owner is that national housing trends and even countywide averages are almost meaningless when applied to your specific parcel of land.
They don't matter to your front yard.
Exactly. You could own a property in a zip code that is depreciating by 30%, while literally 5 miles down a farm-to-market road in a different zip code with better highway access or superior well water, properties are appreciating.
It's all about the microfactors.
Your equity is dictated by the microfactors of your immediate surroundings.
But as much as we talk about these hyper-localized quirks, the well water, the road access, the zip code boundaries crossing county lines, there is one massive, heavy blanket covering the entire market that absolutely no one can escape.
No one.
It doesn't matter if you are buying a historic home right in the busy center of Jacksboro or trying to finance a quiet acreage out on the rural fringes. Every single buyer and seller is handcuffed to the exact same macroeconomic reality.
The cost of capital.
Yes.
The interest rates. This is the invisible gravity that is holding that 11.4-month supply of inventory firmly in place.
It's pulling everything down.
Yeah.
Let's shift our focus to the summer 2026 mortgage rates, because this is the mechanism that is actually choking off the demand.
It's the engine of the slowdown.
Right. The sources give us the mid-July 2026 data for the Dallas-Fort Worth region, which dictates the lending environment for Jack County.
Okay, let's hear the numbers.
The average conventional 30-year fixed rate is sitting at 6.55%, with an APR, the annual percentage rate, which factors in all the fees, at 6.69%.
Yeah, that's high.
And that represents a slight uptick, tracking perfectly with the national Freddie Mac benchmark, which just bumped from 6.49 to 6.55 based on recent sticky economic data.
So for a buyer bringing a standard 20% down payment and excellent credit, conventional money is hovering right in that mid-6% range.
It's expensive.
It's expensive, but it's relatively stable compared to the spikes we saw a couple of years ago.
True. Now, if a buyer can afford the aggressively higher monthly payments of a shorter term, the 15-year conventional is holding just under the 6% threshold, sitting at 5.93%.
But not everyone can afford a 15-year payment.
No, especially not right now.
Yeah.
But we really need to focus our attention on a very specific type of loan. Because it is the absolute lifeblood of a market like Jack County. The FHA loan?
Ah, yes. The Federal Housing Administration Loan Program. Understanding the mechanics of the FHA rate environment right now is the absolute key to understanding why Jack County's inventory is stacked up to 11 months.
So the sources show the FHA 30-year is averaging a base rate of 6.13%.
Okay.
On paper, that looks better than the conventional 6.55%. It looks like a discount.
It does.
But there is a massive catch. When you factor in the required mortgage insurance premium, the MIP, it violently pushes the true APR up to 6.82%.
Almost 7%.
I want to unpack this because I think a lot of people misunderstand what FHA loans are and how that mortgage insurance actually functions.
It is a crucial distinction because the mortgage insurance premium on an FHA loan is not like homeowner's insurance that protects your roof from a hailstorm.
No, it doesn't protect the house at all.
It is insurance that protects the lender in the event that you, the borrower, default on the loan.
It protects the bank.
Exactly, because FHA loans allow buyers to put down as little as 3.5%, and they are generally more forgiving of lower credit scores. The banks view these loans as inherently riskier.
So the bank makes the borrower pay for an expensive insurance policy to protect the bank's own money.
That's exactly it.
It's like a boat rental company forcing you to rent a heavy, incredibly expensive life vest, not to save your life, but to make sure you don't drown while holding their expensive paddle.
That is a highly accurate, if slightly cynical, way to look at it.
It'd be brutal.
The MIP is a mandatory cost bolted onto the loan to mitigate the lender's risk, and it drastically increases the monthly financial burden on the borrower.
That is how a seemingly attractive 6.13% base rate transforms into a punishing 6.82% APR reality.
Yes.
But why is this specifically so devastating for Jack County? If rates are high everywhere, why does a near 7% FHA APR paralyze this specific rural market more than, say, a wealthy suburb in Collin County where buyers are tossing around conventional loans and cash?
It comes entirely down to the price point and the demographics it attracts.
Go ahead, more.
As we established earlier, the year-to-date median price in Jack County is roughly $245,000.
Right.
That sub-$300,000 price point is increasingly rare anywhere near the Metroplex.
It's almost impossible to find.
Because of that relative affordability, Jack County naturally attracts first-time homebuyers.
Right.
It attracts working-class families who are being priced out of the exorbitant rent cycles in Fort Worth and are looking for a place to actually build some equity.
And those are the exact demographics that the FHA loan program was built to serve.
Precisely. These are buyers who have stable income, but they haven't had a decade to stockpile a massive 20% cash down payment.
They need that 3.5% auction.
They are entirely reliant on the FHA structure to enter the market. But the mathematics of a 6.82% APR are brutal.
It changes everything.
A working class family that could easily afford the monthly payment on a $245,000 house when rates were hovering around 4 or 5%.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They suddenly find themselves completely disqualified from that exact same house when the APR are near 7%.
Their debt-to-income ratio breaks.
It just snaps. Their purchasing power doesn't just shrink. It gets violently squeezed out of existence.
So you have a massive cohort of potential buyers, the exact people who want to buy those $245,000 homes sitting in Jacksboro, who are simply locked out by the cost of borrowing the capital.
They are stuck on the sidelines.
And this brings the entire economic picture of Jack County into crystal clear focus.
It really ties it all together.
We discussed the stubborn sellers earlier, the ones who own their properties outright or have low fixed expenses, refusing to drop their prices.
Right.
On the other side, you have working class buyers relying on FHA loans who mathematically cannot afford to meet those sellers at the aspirational prices.
It is absolute gridlock.
It's a massive game of real estate chicken, and neither side is blinking.
Nobody wants to swerve.
The seller won't drop the price, and the buyer can't afford the loan. That is exactly how you end up with 11.4 months of inventory bleaching in the sun.
And this gridlock is highly localized, too.
How so?
Well, the source material notes an interesting contrast. Nationally, U.S. existing home sales unexpectedly rose 1.7% recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, driven by brief dips in national rates that temporarily boosted buyer activity in more liquid markets.
But not here.
No. Locally, in the North Texas region, the stagnation deepened.
Wow.
We saw a dip in new listings, down 2.4%, and pending sales basically flatlined, dropping 0.1%.
So the local market is completely frozen in this high-rate standoff.
Completely frozen.
So, man, we have navigated an incredible amount of complexity today.
We covered a lot of ground.
We talked about the missing land data and the blind spots of the NPRS reports.
The projector breaking.
Right. We unpacked the supply paradox where falling inventory somehow results in 11-month backlog.
Velocity versus volume?
Exactly. Mm. We shattered the mirage of the 50% price drop and anchored reality in the 18% year-to-date correction.
The law of small numbers.
We explored the bizarre zip code math, and we just laid out the crushing reality of the 6.82% FHA borrowing barrier.
It is a dense, challenging environment for anyone trying to transact in real estate right now.
Which means we need to distill this down.
Let's do it.
For you, the person listening to this right now, whether you have a for sale sign in your yard in Jack County or you are sitting in an apartment in Fort Worth looking at listings in Jacksboro, what is the actionable strategy?
Great question.
Let's start with the sellers. If I'm holding property, how do I actually execute a sale in an 11.4-month supply environment?
If you are a seller, particularly if you are outside of that slightly more resilient Jacksboro core, your primary strategy must be absolute pricing realism.
Realism.
The data is screaming at you that the peak valuations of 2023 are gone.
They aren't coming back.
An 18% correction is a fact. It's not a theory. You must price conservatively from day one.
What happens if I don't?
If you overprice the home to quote unquote test the market, you will simply be ignored.
You become invisible to the algorithms and the buyers.
Exactly. Furthermore, you have to mentally prepare for the long haul.
Patience.
A market with almost a year of supply means your house is going to sit. You have to maintain it, keep it staged, keep the yard mowed in the Texas heat for months, not days.
That sounds exhausting.
It is. And most importantly, you must be prepared to offer concessions.
Concessions? Like what?
Because buyers are being squeezed by 7% interest rates, they have very little liquid cash left over.
Right, they're tapped out.
So sellers who are willing to pay for closing costs, fund temporary interest rate buy downs, or handle major repairs up front, those are the sellers actually getting deals across the finish line.
You have to help the buyer afford the math.
You have to be a partner in making the deal work.
Okay, now flip the board. If I am a buyer and I've managed to secure my financing, how should I view this summer of 2026?
If you are a qualified buyer right now, you are walking into an environment where you hold almost all the leverage.
All the power.
The massive inventory backlog is your greatest asset. You do not have to rush.
Take your time.
You can tour 10 different properties, analyze the micro market data for each specific zip code, pick your absolute favorite, and negotiate aggressively.
Because sellers are tired.
Sellers are fatigued. A well-constructed, clean offer, even one significantly under the asking price, has a very high probability of being entertained simply because there is no competing buyer waiting behind you.
But the buyer still has to swallow that 6.8% APR pill.
They do, and that is the risk evaluation every single buyer has to make.
It's tough.
But the traditional wisdom in this specific scenario does hold weight.
Which is?
If you can use your leverage to negotiate a massive discount on the purchase price of the home today, you lock in that lower principal balance permanently.
Right.
If interest rates eventually drop in the coming years, you can refinance the debt to a lower rate.
Mm.
But you can never go back and renegotiate the purchase price once you close.
Date the rate, marry the price.
Exactly. It makes sense, assuming you can comfortably survive the monthly payments in the short term without overextending yourself.
Prudent financial planning is mandatory.
It's non-negotiable.
Okay, as we wrap up this deep dive into the source material, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final lingering thought.
I love this part.
We've spent this entire time dissecting the residential market, but I want to take you back to the very first mystery we discussed today.
The missing data.
Exactly. The blackout of the farm, ranch, and land metrics in the entries report.
Right.
I want you to imagine, what is going to happen when that missing land data finally trickles back into the system, whether it's next month or the month after?
When the projector turns back on.
Right. We know that the residential market in Jack County is currently suffocating under an 11-month backlog of unsold inventory. Homes are just sitting there.
Just sitting.
But what does that supply glut look like when we finally pull back the curtain and factor in hundreds, maybe thousands of acres of Texas ranch land that has been sitting quietly on the market, completely unmeasured by our current reports?
Well, economic gravity dictates that the high interest rates paralyzing the residential market are absolutely affecting the land market as well.
Have to be.
Financing large acreage at 7 or 8% commercial or land loan rates is incredibly prohibitive.
So expensive.
If the residential market is gridlocked, it is highly probable that the land market is experiencing an even deeper stagnation.
Which leads to the ultimate question for this region.
What's that?
Could this western edge of the Metroplex, this vast expanse of ranch country, be quietly turning into a once-in-a-decade buyer's paradise for land acquisition?
Oh, wow.
Think about it. If sellers of large tracts are fatigued and dealing with the exact same lack of buyer velocity, the eventual release of that data might reveal a massive vulnerability in land pricing.
That is a very real possibility.
When that curtain finally pulls back, will we see the ultimate opportunity for buyers with cash or strong financing to claim their piece of Jack County at a steep discount?
It is a massive unknown, and honestly, it is something anyone interested in Texas land needs to watch very, very closely.
It is unequivocally the most important question for this region heading into the fall.
I agree completely.
So until that data catches up, keep your eyes open, know the specific value of your local block, and don't let a terrifying headline percentage scare you out of making a smart, informed decision.